The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Talk about the pay-per-view, post-pay-per-view, right off the bat, guys. But first of all, let me just introduce myself. My name is Jason Block. I am not Nikki Haman. This is the North American, the NAWC, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and Spectrum One. But let me introduce the men at the table here today. First of all, from the other side of the world, it's Bad News Beeman. How are you?
I'm going good, thank you very much.
Ah, there you go, there you are. And from the great state of New Jersey, Mr. VRM.
Yes, you'll be likely interrupted tonight by me shouting, whoa!
Oh, yes, hockey's back, yes. And a fan, hopefully, of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Mr. Chris Waters.
Well, right now I'm a fan of having my legs not be sore from bicycling to work, but that's okay.
That's good. Well, but, hey, VRM, things just went boom in the last 24 hours.
Oh, my God. The implosion that we have been waiting for since January 4th, 2010 is finally happening.
And actually, there's not one, but two lawsuits going on. Okay. The one is kind of interesting, and the other one is even more interesting. You want to talk about the more interesting one first?
Yeah, because we don't have a lot of details on it. We just know that it's happening. But for some reason, we don't know what it is. Things have soured badly between Billy Corgan and the rest of TNA management, because Billy Corgan has filed a lawsuit with a temporary restraining order against TNA, the parent company, Impact Ventures, the
right.
Carters, Gabrick, basically
everybody.
The CFL, everybody. This is,
and we have no idea why. And this is like, this just came out of nowhere. Well, did it come out of nowhere? I'll ask you, Chris. Did it come out of nowhere?
To me, it did. I was looking on there because at last I heard he was still trying to go to the meetings and everything, but maybe there was something that happened that we don't know about.
Yeah, right now, here's what we do know. Like we said, Billy Corgan, TNA president, has filed a lawsuit against Impact Wrestling, Impact Ventures, the parent company, Dixie Carter, TNA's CFO, Dean Broadhead, Dixie's husband, Serge Salius.
Yes.
In a state court in Nashville this past Wednesday.
Yep.
Earlier today, he requested and was approved for a temporary restraining order.
But we don't know on what.
Don't know on what. And there is a hearing scheduled for next Thursday, 11:30 a.m., for a request for a temporary injunction.
Again, we don't know on what.
Okay. And Corgan has requested a 6-person jury for the case.
Yes.
So,
now for those who don't know, 6-person means civil. Okay, that is a civil trial. You understand that, correct? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, what this screams to me.
Okay. Okay. Do you have some legal knowledge, right?
I have a theory.
Okay.
Because we know that there's been a lot of negotiations between buyers and what for control of TNA.
Right.
My opinion is someone is negotiating in bad faith.
Or behind Corgan's back. That's what I'm thinking. Does that make sense?
One of the two, yeah. One of the two, something is happening. Corgan either is getting a very, very, very raw deal on the short end of the stick, or he's being left out entirely.
Shade, Shade. If that makes the most sense, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he was a man that actually put money into the company when Dixie's daddy was just like, nah, no more. But I don't know. I don't know what's like pushed Billy over the edge. But I'm sensing the axe is about to drop on TNA wrestling.
Yeah, and let me get you. You didn't hear about lawsuit number two, did you? Okay, try this. Okay, TNA's former production company, Audience of One Productions, filed a lawsuit September 27th in the U.S. District Court. I don't know if you still have access to LexisNexis, Mr. VRM.
Give me one second. Where is my wrestling legal pages?
Yes, exactly. Against Impact Ventures, Inc., Aralux, LLC, Dean Broadhead, and Ron Harris of the Bruise Brothers, a.k.a. Ronald Dean Harris. It's seeking $223,000 plus interest and post-judgment costs for breach of contract, fraudulent inducement on the behalf of Harris and Broadhead, torturous interference on behalf of Aralux, and for the defendants violating Virginia Code. Try this. The lawsuit states that TNA began conversations with AO1 Productions about a possible long-term multi-event production services agreement, pursuant to which they would provide a variety of services for live TNA events, including audiovisual and broadcasting work, lighting, set construction and breakdown, as well as retention and payment of audience wranglers, among other things. The lawsuit states that before and during the negotiations, TNA was overseen by Ron and Don Harris. And upon information and belief, the Harris were not providing sufficiently high-quality production despite their industry experience. The AOI, Audience of One, understood that one of the reasons they sought the long-term business relationship was the dissatisfaction with the Harris brothers. Okay? Basically, they are suing for the money that that Audience of One, that TNA owes them. Okay? TNA ain't paying right now. Okay? Do you have it yet or no?
No, I'm going to go
you could look it up, but if yeah. You have it, if you have the link sometime, you could put it in our chat box or on our page. You understand that. But yeah. Again, this is a production company suing TNA for money. Or as Paul Heyman would say, get in line, right, Chris?
Yeah. You know, hearing all this about what's going on with these lawsuits and all the buyers and everything, it's just proving one thing. If there's one thing TNA's been good at, it's funeral segments right here.
Oh, jeez.
He's not lying, though.
No, I mean, put it to you this way. I mean, we found out this week through the last tapings that they had that they were going to do what is known as the total nonstop deletion. They're doing a supposedly an entire show based at the Hardy compound to end the year. It could be that could be, you know, to end the entire company at this point. Because honestly speaking, these lawsuits, right, VRM, I'm thinking they're the death knell.
These could be potentially crippling lawsuits. Now, granted, one thing that with the Corgan lawsuit, if that goes through, it just might end up that Corkin gets majority control of the company. That might end up happening there. With this other one, $223,000, can they even afford to have a $250,000 to?
No, they can barely afford to do their pay per views. That's not a joke.
True, they got bailed out in order to do. Eastern District of Virginia. I'm still looking for the.
That's okay. That's fine.
But I think, and here's another warning sign for you.
Everything's logins. Fuck.
here's another warning sign for you is the fact that broken Matt Hardy himself has said he would be open to show to being on the show for McMahon. which tells you that even the Hardys are like, yeah, we're about to die here.
Well, I know Matt's already doing another promotion as well for in a future show. I don't know how soon though.
Well, you know, but you want to know also something? Let's go over to NXT for a second. A former TNA star is going to make her TNA debut, and this happened tonight. A little spoilerific action for
it. It actually happened.
Wait! Stop! I think you meant to say, is it a TNA knockout's making her WWE debut?
No, I said NXT. Alan. Because it's not WWE, it's NXT. Because this is a return.
Yep. And it only broke about an hour or two ago. That this was going to happen. So, if you were in the Toronto area and you were a fan of a certain feud from around like 2005, 2006, somewhere around there, you'll want to go and get a ticket to NXT Toronto to see Asuka defend her NXT Women's Championship against Mickey James.
Now! I gotta ask you guys, what's your thoughts on this?
Hell yeah. That's it.
Okay. This is a really good move because it does a few things. One, it gives Asuka a nice credible challenger for this show because this goes to my second point. The NXT women's division right now is in a state of rebuilding after they got most of the division up onto the main shows due to the draft. So without rushing out something like Asuka Ember Moon or Asuka Billy Kay or anything like that, this gives Asuka something to do at Toronto. This gives the women of NXT a chance to build up, and it gives a great match, and it gives Mickie James one more chance to have some fun in the WWE right there. So it's good all around for me, as long as Mickey can still go. I don't know how
well that's the second question though, is one, can Mickey James still go, because she has been off the indies for a while, obviously due to her having her child. And two, if she can still go, does this open the door for her for a WWE return maybe?
At the most, I could see her being maybe like, I did hear she moved down in the Orlando area, so maybe she could be like someone who helps out at the Performance Center every now and then and appears special appearances. Maybe a one shot on the main roster for a little bit, but that's about it.
And with Mickey James coming in the door, does that open the door for her husband maybe as well, making an NXT appearance?
I don't know. Necessarily, but I think it's pretty. I think it's a great idea. I mean, the question is this a long term thing, or do you think this is a one shot, or do you think this is a tryout?
I think it could be a one shot that leads to something. I don't know.
I don't know, but I think it's going to be really good, and I think she's training for it. Do you know how old her her child is? Do we know how old her child is?
God, I think he's only
one and a bit from memory.
I will check, but I think that's look, it's a great. It's a great thing. And another thing,
correction. He is 2 years old. I do apologize.
Oh, well, okay. And she's only 37. So, I'm happy about this. But we also have a couple of replacements and injuries to talk about, at least in NXT. Okay. Oh, jeez. No, Chris. No. I'm not going to say that, but no. Okay.
Hey, I reckon that would throw Oscar off her guard. I mean...
Yes, it would, but still. Right, VRM? But no.
I tell you what would make it even more funnier is if the NXT Toronto pay-per-view was sponsored by KFC.
Yes, exactly. Right on.
The slogan.
The slogan,
KFC,
yes.
KFC, finger looking good.
Yeah. So a couple of more interesting things that happened at the NXT tapings that we'll talk about. One, which is the debut of Roderick Strong, former ROH guy. Good for him. He's been around for the WWE for a long time. And I heard that he finally got signed and he's finally debuted. There's a picture with the evil boss, Dr. Levrescu, talking.
Not only did he debut, but he has been partnered up with Austin Aries for the Dusty Classic.
Yes. Hideo Itami is not going to be in the Dusty Classic because he's hurt again.
He took a bad bump in a match, and kind of sad that he's going to miss more months after he just came back from his injury that took him out for over a year.
And Chris, who is replacing him?
A certain guy who loves video games, apparently.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
So, VRM, when are you wrestling?
Hey, if they say the person loves video games, that could be any of us. I mean, come on.
That is definitely
very
true.
Very true.
But it is one, TJ Perkins. Who is he? And he's teaming with Kota Ibushi, right?
Correct.
Wow. That should be fun. I don't think it's going to make any difference necessarily.
I won't spoil the Dusty Classics results.
No, do not do that. But it's going to be fun to watch. Speaking of fun to watch, we had a pay per view on Sunday, and boy, there were some there were some things in there that were pretty good. There was a lot of stuff that was pretty good. And some very interesting marketing decisions. Okay. Now, on Sunday, VRM,
yes,
it was announced in that they would open with the World Championship match.
Hold that second. Because.
Yes.
It's Kreider.
Oh, okay. We had a goal?
Yep.
Okay.
So let me just get one out of the way real quick.
Go ahead.
Whoa! All right.
Okay. So we had the world title match between Cena, Styles, and Ambrose open the show because of the debate on Sunday. The other worked show of Sunday.
Yeah.
Night.
I think the show that's even more worked at this point.
Exactly. Now, we all thought, and pretty much every thought, that Ziggler Miz would close and be the main. Okay? It wasn't. And the whole wrestling community had a shit fit. Shane, does the WWE owe them an apology? Because I think they do.
God damn straight they do. I mean, no offense to Orton and Bray, because like the return of Luke Harper was huge, but to not put over like Ziggler and Miz, who have worked their ass off and have been like talk of the friggin' wrestling community the past couple of weeks, and you don't give them the main event? Really? Like if we had the soundboard here and asked Nikki to play my favorite thing, bullshit.
It is bullshit. Chris, it was bullshit, wasn't it?
It was. I can see what WWE's logic was to have a returner at the very end of the show to close it out, to change it. But with the match these two put on, they should have been the ones that ended it all. At the very least, that way you could say you still had a title in the main event of the show as well.
And what was interesting to me was, first of all, look, I do have the spreadsheet. I was given it by Nikki Haman in a secret envelope under the mayonnaise jar somewhere. okay. So what happens is we had, first of all, the opener, the world title match was great. World title match was off the chain good. That was just fantastic. I mean, Styles won. I mean, when they had the dual tap out, I was like, oh no, are they going to do it this way? But VRM, aren't you liking the fact that they are actually not doing screw job BS endings now?
Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air to see something actually just, it's like, and yet, yeah, it's kind of, you get screwy finishes because of weapon use involved, but then again, no DQ because triple threat match, etc. But it's, like I said, breath of fresh air that the authority figures are staying out of it right now. And basically the only people that are getting involved with it are people that are having a direct stake, like, or are directly involved and not just here because, oh, we don't like this guy, so it's actually the animosity between, like, for example, Jericho getting involved a couple weeks ago with Seth and Kevin Owens. Luke Harper getting involved with Orton and Wyatt.
Hey, you know what, VRM? Do you know what? You just made the list!
Oh, excuse me, would you stop being a stupid idiom? I mean, seriously. of course, the other matches were okay. You know, Nikki and Carmella was all right. You know, the tag titles were okay. Corbin's, you know, swagger was all right. But Miz and Ziggler, okay. Guys, if you ever thought of me to say, and I quote, match of the year candidate with The Miz, would you say it was high?
I'd say give now, give please. Whatever you're smoking, I want it.
But it's true, though, isn't it?
Very true. The way I know it's true is because I had some people I talked to on the fan boards that are not that big of Dolph Ziggler fans. Not for the person itself, but for the character he's been portraying recently. And they were actually so invested in the match, and they cheered when he won. That's how well they did in this match.
Yeah. Brilliant storytelling, right, VRM? It was just outstandingly good.
Yeah.
It was outstandingly good. Go ahead.
Plus it's making the Spirit Squad's regular feature on the shows.
We'll get to that. Alexa Bliss she got to wrestle Naomi. And Naomi won? What? That was a little weird booking. But, of course, do we know why Becky was out? Do we know why?
She got injured during a house show, apparently. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, but it is legit because they just showed pictures of her in the hospital gown and everything.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Luke Harper with the reappearance. That was pretty cool. That was, that was the only logical place for him, I'm guessing.
Especially with Rowan injured now.
Yep. So, do you want to find out who the Fizzleweight Champion is? Okay. I will tell you who it isn't. That would be Carl. He had two. Okay? Only two people got the wild card. That would be... I'm just trying to see. That would be Nikki and Cindy, I believe. Okay? Well, in third place, with a little pile up at four, that would be myself, you, Chris, and Josh Henniker. Okay? In second place, at five, Nikki, fourth, and Cindy, which means we have new co-champions. At seven, okay, that would be Dan Reynolds and you, Mr. Beeman. You got seven.
God damn it, I was hoping to be a single champion, but co-champions, righto.
Yeah, you're going to be holding it for another 2 weeks, but maybe, because we've got a pay-per-view coming up, and we're going to talk about that one, okay? Because we're going to talk about Raw, and there were only two things that really came out of Raw that were really interesting to me, okay? And that would be this one first, which would be number one, the Hell in a Cell itself, okay? Which means we're going to get three Hell in a Cell matches, okay? One, Owens Rollins, we knew that. Two, Reigns Rusev, we knew that. But three, which would happen with the opening promo, which was interesting in a few levels, we are going to get the first ever Women's Hell in a Cell match with Charlotte and Sasha. Now, Nikki asked, and I quote, and I will put this to the table, and I'll let everyone discuss, are they doing it just to do it, or do you think it's a cool idea? Or both? How's that?
I am in the both category, because this feud between Charlotte and Sasha has been electric hot ever since WrestleMania when we had the triple threat match. These two have just been, it's like the two matches that they've had since then, the Raw that I know off the top of my head that I remember watching, the Raw match after the draft, and the match this back at Clash of Champions, they are going so far out of the way, they have nearly killed each other, and granted, botches aside, because of the one botch that had that. Sort of botch, I should say. I mean, Sasha's neck in most of these matches, that suicide dive, how does she not break her neck? I don't know, idea. Charlotte's moonsault, it's like, also, always pretty much when she lands a double also. But still, they're doing it at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, where it does sort of diminish it because you have so many Hell in a Cells, but still, this feels like a proper blow off to a feud, just because of the length of the feud and they've really been going at each other. But still, it does feel a little tacked on just because of the fact that it is the quote unquote Hell in a Cell pay per view.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to say right now. After this event, they should really try to move away from having these specialty match specific pay-per-views, especially if they're the brands with the brand extension split, whatever the heck you want to call it. But I am in the both category as well. If they wanted to have the popularity of it, if Charlotte and Sasha were part of the ones that had the idea to have this, then then they do deserve it for what they've been doing out there in the matches, specifically their two Raw matches. And but I can see it being a thing like, say, hey, we're going to give them this so we can continue this statement about the Women's Revolution. But it's still a cool idea, and I'm thinking that they could do some interesting things with this, if because being lighter competitors compared to many of the people that have been in Hell in the Cell over the years, they have a chance to do stuff that they, if they are allowed to, we have not seen in a Hell in the Cell before. And I'm interested to see what those two can try. I'm just worried, though, Sasha needs to be careful, because I don't want her to get injured again and have to be out for a while because of some of the stuff she does. Because she goes hard for a lot of the stuff she does, if you noticed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Lita's been sitting up in the booth a couple of times and been like, God, that's a mirror image of me. with half the stuff she's done. But for me, I agree, it's definitely both. They had to do it eventually, because fans have been demanding it for like over 4 years now. We need a woman's Hell in a Cell match, even longer probably. But yeah, if you're going to do it with anyone, you might as well do it with Sasha and Charlotte. Any other thing I would have seen that would have made it perfect would have been the four horsewomen themselves inside Hell in a Cell, fighting for the title. But
that would have been interesting, but we could save that for something like WrestleMania or something like that.
I'll be interested to see how they go. Do I think we're going to get crazy stuff like we've seen with Mankind and Shane type stuff? No, but we could still get a top quality match.
You know, if they were allowed, either Sasha or Charlotte would try to do some of those things.
All I know is if I see Sasha Banks or Charlotte going through top of the cell, or Charlotte even attempting a moonsault or something off top of the cell, I'll lose my shit.
That would be crazy to see. I want to pose a quick question about this, though. Does this lead to them continuing after the Hell in the Cell doing women's gimmick matches like this, for if they do keep on doing these gimmick pay-per-views, doing that for there, like TLC, do we have one of those three matches still be a match like that, like they did about 5 years ago now, I think, with the Natalya and Beth Phoenix versus Lay Cool match with the tables?
Well, not only that, but they had that obviously, but they also had Sasha versus Bayley in the Iron Woman match as well. So
yeah, that was a takeover though.
Yeah, I know, but still, I know that people love differencing NXT and like SmackDown and Raw, but it's still WWE. God damn it.
True, yeah. But and the other one I'm going to ask you. This is a kind of a weird one that somebody posed to me when they heard about this. What, even though it would be a lot smaller than the real thing, do you think this could lead to a, like, maybe like 10 women Royal Rumble match at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
No, but we're going to get something interesting at summer, at Survivor Series, which we'll talk about. Okay. Mm. And I don't think we're going to get a 10 woman Royal Rumble. I don't see that happening. It could happen.
We already had that crap at friggin' WrestleMania, if everyone remembers the Battle Royal. Where Santino Marella.
Has that started yet? I thought Kid Rock was still doing his concert.
He's still playing, yes, exactly. But then we had something very interesting happen. I think the more interesting note of the week. Now, this is also sponsored by Pixel Nation and the Freaking Awesome Network. So about 6 months ago, when the first commercial for WWE 2K17 came out, let's set up what the commercial was. You had a bunch of state troopers blow up a vault, and Goldberg walked out. Okay? Now, we all know where he was headed to in the police car, right, Shane? Where was he headed?
He was heading to Suplex City.
Right. So, we, over the summer, it has been rumored, and pretty much, I believe Jim Ross was the one who broke the story a couple of weeks ago that the Lesnar-Goldberg match is going to happen. And he said it would be a Survivor Series. Now, this week, it was noted at a bit of a surprise that Paul Heyman came out on Raw and challenged Goldberg to a fight anywhere, anytime. Right? And Goldberg tweeted, and this was also in response to the ESPN interview, which was on Jonathan Coachman Over the Top Rope. So, and of course, Bill Goldberg said, fuck yeah, I'll be in Denver next week. And so I have to ask you, we all know, Chris, that it's a done deal, that they've signed, that they're going to fight at the Survivor Series. What do you think of this?
Well, one thing I'm hoping, since I was there live, is that they try to do something to erase somewhat the memory of the WrestleMania 20 match. It's gonna be tricky with, no offense to him, Lesnar doing a lot less moves than he did back then, and Goldberg being nearly 50 years old, if not already past 50. I've lost track.
He's 49.
49, so pretty close. But I will say this, if they've been planning this for a while now, and Goldberg's been like training behind the scenes and we don't know about it, they have a potential to be interesting, because wrestling, despite Goldberg being up there in the years now, wrestling is the one athletic competition kind of thing where it doesn't matter your age. If you play it right, you can make it believable that somebody like Goldberg could still go against a UFC-hardened Brock Lesnar. I'm hoping that they can do something really good with that. Right. But we'll see what happens. And I do find it funny, this is the third guy that they've had that comes on the commercial, and then they appear on WWE TV somehow, some way.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, this is the third. Yeah,
The third straight pre-order special.
Well, we won't count Arnie in that, but
okay.
Arnie was in the Hall of Fame. What are you talking?
Yes, but he was not wrestling. You had Sting. You had, well, Warrior never wrestled.
Well, it just appeared on WWE TV. I'm just saying. And Arnie's thing came after he was Arnie got in on the TV with the induction before the game was announced, so I don't count that one.
Okay, VRM, what do you think of all this?
I think this has had to have been in the works for a while. It's just building it into the net. Basically, the idea was building it into the nearest big four around the game's release, that way they could have it as a money match for a big four. And sure enough, we've got Survivor Series just a month away.
So, yeah, but I'm asking, what do you think of the match? What do you think of all of this?
Well, I'm hoping we get an apology, not like a verbal apology, but a match apology for what they did with WrestleMania 20, which was referenced by Paul to an extent during the promo.
Yep.
Because he did mention the single blemish on Lesnar conquering WWE was a match at WrestleMania 20 against Goldberg, the single blemish which Lesnar wants to correct.
Since
since he can't correct the Eddie one right now.
I'm surprised he didn't go into the whole spiel of Goldberg is the only one to beat the one in 21-1. It's like,
okay.
But still, I have a feeling that it's not going to be a series, but it's going to be two big money matches we're going to get out of this.
Two?
I say two for a reason. We have WrestleMania 20. We'll likely have one at Survivor Series. Probably will be Lesnar. I think Lesnar would take that. That way we set up for a rubber match at 33. Potential.
Ooh, I don't think so. There've been too many large rumors going around that Lesnar's going to be facing either Samoa Joe or Kevin Owens at 33.
No, I've heard Shane McMahon, actually.
That's what I've heard, too.
Oh, God, please no. Please no.
That's what I've also heard with that.
Yes.
No, no offense to Shane. Like, I know he said that that shit with him and Brock's not done. But if you really want to do payback, man, then by all means, like, cost Lesnar the match against Goldberg if you want to get payback, but no. And make him 2-0.
But
actually, now that he said it like that, Shane, I kind of want Goldberg to win that. And I just, you know, if they're going to do anything, if they're not going to do the one idea that I really want to see for him at WrestleMania, depending on if he decides to show up and not just finally retire, why not have a match that we've never seen before and have Goldberg versus Undertaker at WrestleMania?
It'd be interesting, although there's been recent photos going around of Taker on crutches, so I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Yeah, but wouldn't every time around this time of year we see pictures of Undertaker, he doesn't look that great, and by the time WrestleMania rolls around, he looks fine. If they're not ever going to do the John Cena the Undertaker WrestleMania match, I wouldn't mind wanting to see a Goldberg versus Undertaker at WrestleMania.
I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I think if they're going to do anything, they'll do the match that they were going to do last year, which was John Cena versus Taker.
The
rumor is that Taker's done. He says he's not going. That's it.
Well, no, I've heard that they have had conversations with Taker, and he is interested in probably one more match only. So WrestleMania 33 might be his swan song.
We'll give him the Hall of Fame induction the night before too. Then
that'd be great. But again, it's very interesting, to say the least. With this, I mean, I was stunned that they actually did this. But now, is this the first time that a cover athlete match is going to happen? Ever?
If you don't count the 2K15 ones with John Cena being on the cover,
no, that's not true. We also had because Batista and John Cena were on the cover of a game, and here they were, and they faced off.
There you go.
Okay. Excuse me, pardon me, but now. Before we get into SmackDown, Shane, I gotta talk to you. I gotta sit down with you.
Oh, God, please. I know where you're going with this, and if you're gonna go down this track, be prepared, because I'm not in the mood for it.
No, I'm not. I just want your logical, well, I was going to say unbiased opinion, but that's a bunch of bullshit.
I've been very logical with it, and I've been very very on the fence about it, because look, yes, Paige got suspended.
Let me just set it up before you get it. What happened was Paige got knocked for a second suspension, and she's out for 60 days. Later in the week, it was found out she is going to have neck surgery. Both her parents are basically saying that the WWE failed her medically and that the wellness policy is a bunch of bullshit. Is that pretty much what they said? Is that...
I don't know if her mother said anything. I know her father was livid. He
and
was
her brothers.
I haven't seen any of her brother's postings, but her father, Ricky, was very friggin' adamant about it and said that what Paige took was prescription medication because she's obviously got a bad neck that needs surgery done. Now, here's something that WWE has never done or I haven't seen them do in ages. They rebutted to it and said, no, we suspended Paige for an illegal drug use. Now, I don't know who to believe, and I've posted this on many, because I've seen a lot of marks that have attacked Paige. I've seen a lot of Paige fans that have attacked WWE, and I've said, look, here's the easiest way to friggin' settle this. Show me the proof. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Paige's dad. I don't care if it's WWE. But you guys either show me the test results for Paige saying what illegal drug she used, or Ricky Morton, oh, sorry, not Ricky Morton. her father, Ricky, gets on his Instagram or whatever and posts Paige's prescription script from her doctor stating what she is using, and then we can all be like, okay, yep, that's on WWE's ban list. So obviously it's not illegal, but they deem it illegal.
Excuse me.
As far as her neck surgery goes, there is more on that. Apparently, and this is the part that's going to piss a lot more people off, is the fact that WWE doctors have stated that they don't reckon Paige needs surgery. So it's going to be very interesting to see if WWE actually pays for her surgery. But as far as I'm concerned, that's where I stand on it. Someone's got to show me proof, because I'm not going to attack Paige. I'm not going to attack WWE until I see proof. Because for all I know, this could be another CM Punk situation where it's the doctor, where it's like WWE and doctors say one thing, but Paige is actually in the right, or Paige is completely bullshitting and she was smoking with Alberto Del Rio and got caught. I don't know. But yeah, we'll wait and see. But I personally think that Paige is done, and I reckon she needs to just leave WWE and get her shit back together. Like recover from her neck surgery and try and get this bad stain off her.
So, do you think that she should ask for her WWE release?
Well, if she doesn't ask for it, she's going to get released either way, because like this thing with her father and Paige, that's just permanently put her on the jobber list. I do not expect her to be getting a WWE Women's Championship shot in 2017, 2018, or even 2019.
Wow.
Because
yeah, go ahead.
She'll get the CM Punk or AJ Lee treatment. That's what I reckon.
VRM, what's your thoughts on all this?
Again, the main thing is we don't know exactly what the positive test was for, what the prescription's for. It's the big question mark. We don't know who's in the right here. It could be a combination. Yes, she has a prescription, but it's not something that WWE has approved, and they're not approving the, I'm guessing, the equivalent of the TUA, the therapeutic use exemption. It's like, we're not going to know what it was until we see a test result or a prescription. And it's the same thing that happened with Lesnar and John Jones. It's something that we know that they were popped for something, but we don't know what it was. We don't even have a clue as to what it was right now. So,
wasn't Lesnar's one clarified? Like Lesnar?
Yeah, eventually,
used two,
yes. Eventually, like, yes.
That's what
eventually,
I was gonna
say. Yes, but at first, it was just a he said she said or he said he said kind of thing, which is where we are right now with a he said she said. We don't know for sure. We're not going to know until something actually shows up.
I don't know. Well, all I know is with WWE Doctor's track record, I'm like 80% on Paige's side compared to the 20% WWE Doctor.
Oh, come on. Whoa. That's a little biased here.
Biased.
Right? No. That's not biased. Like, come on, man. Be brutally honest. We have seen multiple times with WWE Doctors or the drug policy users that they like make very harsh judgments. I mean, look at Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns got popped for Alderaal. Come on, people.
Yes, like, yes, they did. But the thing is it on the banned list, or did he not bring his papers on time? We don't know. Okay, he owned it. He owned that he screwed up. That he fucked up, and then he moved on. The question is that I think. Okay, first of all, I think Paige. Seriously? First of all, isn't Paige only like 22, 23?
She's 23, yeah.
She's a friggin' baby. I mean, look, I'm almost 50, okay? So it's just one of those things where she's also young. And people who are young don't give a flying fuck about the world. They're just going to do what they want. You know this.
Yeah, I get it.
There's actually somebody on the roster that's proof of that, and proof that if this is on page for what's going on here, that maybe releasing her and letting her spend some time out away from WWE and maybe coming back in the future if something happens is good for her, and that being Brian Kendrick with what he was doing in his time there.
Are you saying Kendrick had issues too?
I mean, that's the story that they had, that he had some issues. I mean, he was always taking drugs and then everything, and that's what happened to him. And then he cleaned up, and this is his chance to redeem himself. So I'm thinking if this is on Paige, I'm not saying it is or isn't, but if this is on her, then having her go away from WWE and learn about her life from there could be something that helps her in the future.
I agree, but like I said, it's not like we're going to be seeing Paige for the remainder of 2016 in a ring anyways, because she's got to get this neck surgery done, which is apparently going to keep her out for 7 to 9 months.
So 2017 is done. Let's just call it that right there.
Yeah, so she'll be back probably like mid to late 2017 if she's lucky.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I agree with you, Chris. Like I said, she's either gonna ask for her release and just like get on the mend and like heal up 100%, and then get back into either like TNA, ROH, or go to New Japan. Either one, I don't care. Or just stay on the Indies. But yeah, and then when she's ready, she can come back if WWE will take her back.
We will, you know, all I'm just saying is that it doesn't pass the sniff test to me. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, with being young and the whole nine yards. Just, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is not biased talking. This is 100% pure fact. Saraya Jade, that is her real name, ladies and gentlemen. She has not made no friggin' whiffs or qualms since day one when she came into WWE. You knew she was anti-establishment. You knew she was like wasn't going to change for anybody, and she made it very clear that she was getting more and more pissed off the more that they tried to tell her that we want you to be more like a Barbie doll and all this. When she tried to get new tattoos and everything, and I'm just like, well, I don't blame her for being angry. Like, it's like you're 20, you're telling a 20, like at the time, 21, 22 year old that she can't do what she wants with her body. That's, yeah, doesn't fly.
I could get into the American politics of things, but we're not going to go into that.
Well, mate, I can just tell you right now, your American politics are fucked. You got Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Enough said.
Yeah. Couple of things from SmackDown that really pointed me out. VRM, you're a production guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. What did you think of the NASCAR-esque action-to-action thing in a couple of the matches tonight, Tuesday night?
Well, first of all, I didn't watch SmackDown on Tuesday night. But secondly, the idea, and we saw this a few weeks ago on Raw. I forget how long ago it was on Raw that we saw it, but I love the idea. Because how many times has it been we have a match, you get thrown to the outside, you go to commercial, we watch the commercial, you get back from break, and then you hear Cole or Mauro say, "Welcome back to XXX. Here's what here's what's going on right now. Here's what happened during the break," and you just go with a replay that takes over the screen, and then you lose what's going on currently in the match, and then you have to go back to what's going on current in the match. And I've always been a fan of this because it's allowed us to see. That, yes, stuff still goes on while the cameras are off, or while the commercials are playing, I should say. So, at least now it's not like we're going to be just fed a nonstop stream of replays to make up for, oh, they got thrown out of the ring, let's use this time to go to a commercial.
Chris, what was the name of that interactive show or the interactive thing in the 2000s where they tried to show what would happen on a commercial online? It was something. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about, but the name is slipping my mind. But yeah, I do remember.
Wasn't it Bite This or something?
No.
Bite This was that talk show kind of thing, that podcast that they had back in the day.
Which was their first attempt at social media. Well, no, that wasn't their first attempt. It was one of their attempts at social media. It was WWE something, okay? Someone find that, didn't it remind you of NASCAR VRM? It really did.
Unlimited.
Thank you.
Yes, unlimited.
But yeah, this is good, and this is a way that they do it now, and not have the company, because I think the reason they got rid of WWE Unlimited before was they were I think they were back on USA by this point. USA was complaining that people were turning away from their channel to look at Unlimited instead of looking at the screen to watch the commercials and everything. This way, you get the best of both worlds. You still get people getting the chance to watch what the commercial had going on during it. And you get the commercials that are sponsoring the show. So that works out. The question is, why didn't they do that during the main event? But that's a minor question.
Yeah, but like I said, I'd like to see more of it. I'd love to see more of it.
They should have done it long before. And I'm going to be kind of weird in this regard. I wouldn't mind if, just for the heck of it, just to say, hey, you need to pay attention to this every now and then, they actually have a match and during one of those, because they haven't ever really done that much. I know they did it back.
Or do something interesting and then, like, you know, sort of split the screen and bring the screen up a little bit, or, you know, make it half and half instead of three quarter to one quarter. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, because like I said, they haven't done that much stuff that happens in a commercial where it ends the match or super big moves during that. In WWE history, and the only ones I can think of off the top of my head was something from way back in like 1993 Raw, a match ended during commercial.
So, I gotta tell you though, there was some epic level dufosity on this show. Okay.
Yeah, VRM, you missed out on the biggest Cinderella story of all time with SmackDown. Shame.
Well, I caught up with that thanks to a certain someone on YouTube.
Okay. So we had AJ Styles saying he's the, you know, the champ that runs the camp, the face that runs the place. And by the way, Cena, you know, you're going away back up to the Pacific Northwest for a few weeks, you know, to film American Grit 2. By the way, that's why you didn't see them. Just to let you know, he's hanging out. Hi, kids. You know. Yes. So Ambrose interrupts AJ because AJ said, "I'm gonna let someone in the back have a shot." Right. So Ambrose comes out and AJ says, "You know, you know it wasn't you. That was who I wasn't talking about, right? Nope." So AJ Styles brings out James freaking Ellsworth. Okay? Seriously, right? So Ambrose says, "You know what? You know, I may be crazy. I want to watch this. Let's go. I'm sitting." And AJ says, we're not having this. You're not interrupting this. This is his kid. This is my kid's dream, right?" So what happens is Daniel Bryan comes up and says, "You know what? Let's make Ambrose the special guest referee." So, okay, there was so much dufosity in this. VRM, what was your favorite part of the whole thing? And talk amongst yourselves. You talk amongst you three for a second. I'll be right back. Just keep going. Explain what you thought. All right, just anyone.
Well, I didn't watch it. So
all right, Chris.
All right, Chris, we're gonna do this debate between me and you on how if it was good or bad.
Okay.
Why you didn't like it?
No. I thought it was brilliant. I'm just thought like for entertainment purposes, we'll just do a debate.
No, not entertainment purposes.
No, because I couldn't do it because I liked it. It was hilarious. Though I do wonder why Vinay Young was trying to call Dean during the match.
Was fun. Yes, you had a phone call, a selfie, a plant with a you know the hot chick wanting to get the photo.
Even before that, all the stuff Dean was pulling out of his jean pockets when he was getting there.
Oh, yeah, what was it? A card? Let's see, cards, a chain.
There's a flask in there, I know that much.
The only way this could be any more, like, more dufosity is if you had, let me take a selfie playing when Ambrose played the freaking thing. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Like he had a ringtone or something.
It's like, I'm gonna make this pin, but first, let me take a selfie.
Yeah, exactly. Let me take a selfie. Yes, thank you, Chainsmokers. No,
Tyler Breeze called and said, "Give me infringement."
Yes.
I mean, I was just wondering. You know, it's like I was expecting. You know, condoms. You know, something.
Maybe if we were still TV-14, but.
But I was just like, damn. Yeah. So you had a deck of cards. You had a little, you know, little bike chain for a little, you know, if he goes to downtown again, you know, dumping someone in the garbage can.
Yeah, I can never hear Suplex City without that theme popping in my head now.
Yes, Petula Clark is getting some money from WWE 2K17, to say the least. And then Ellsworth wins the match, quote unquote. Okay.
Yeah, but before that, I have to say, James, if you're ever going to take the Styles Clash again, do not try to tuck your chin. You could have been severely injured there.
Yeah. Was bad.
Yeah, AJ had.
He almost had that same incident as Indy guy that tucked his head in. Friggin' oh, it was
yeah. Okay. AJ was smart enough to adjust it right there, so that didn't happen. But yeah, Ellsworth, if you're gonna take the move, take it. I know you've been out of this for 15 years. I know, instincts come in, but don't tuck the chin when you take in a Styles Clash. That's a recipe for disaster right there.
Mm-hmm. But I laughed my behind off. It was awesome. It was just so much fun. It was great. Now let's get into what SmackDown wants for Survivor Series. And
But before that, there's a special thing about James winning the match, even though Styles kicked out of one dirty deeds before, but that's okay.
Oh, yes. Our main event for next week, ladies and gentlemen, is the phenomenal AJ Styles defending his WWE World Heavyweight Championship against James Cinderella Story Ellsworth.
For real?
Yeah.
For real?
Yes. Announced on Talking Smack after the show, they announced that.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Because James was on the Talking Smack, and he was stunned at the news, too.
and Bray Wyatt's just sitting there like, I'm a god, man, and this guy gets a title shot before me.
I'm going to interrupt the show before they try to close off.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you have a reason to watch this past Talking Smack now, Jason.
Yeah, I do. No, but yes, I do. Because I just caught SmackDown this afternoon due to familial obligations, let's just say. If you know what I mean.
Right.
But yeah, that's going to be even funnier. You're right. That is going to be absolutely so much fun. And of course, Ellsworth will get a shot in. And put it this way, I hope they don't put the belt on him. I really don't think they will.
No.
Dean Ambrose with Dirty Deeds. 1, 2, 3. James Ellsworth is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Bray Wyatt's pissed.
Yes. Because honestly, it would be the biggest mistake since David Arquette, to be honest. I would think.
At least Ellsworth is actually a wrestler, though.
Yes, he's an indie guy, the whole nine yards. He's going to get, yes, okay.
This will be the single biggest mistake since they changed Emma to Emelina. God damn it.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, that's gross, too. All right. However, I got to ask you, Shane, the whole they're going back to the traditional Survivor Series, but in a sort of bragging rights sort of way. Sort of.
Definitely.
Combining two pay-per-views into one, maybe?
Yes, it's definitely an intriguing concept. I mean, and let's face it, we all know how these teams are going to pan out. It's going to be Team Cena for SmackDown versus, I don't know, who's the top guy on Raw? Team Owens on Raw?
Yeah.
So top five superstars of Raw versus top five superstars of SmackDown, and then it's the top five tag teams of Raw versus the top five tag teams of SmackDown.
Before you continue that, I will say this. If they're going to do this 10 people on 10 people match, hopefully they have better camera angles than they did in 87 and 88 when they did this concept. Having done paper reviews of those Survivor Series, yeah, that's a very hard match to film, let's just say.
You do realize that we now have, like, top rope cams and everything else.
Yeah, but that's top rope cams can be crazy, too, right? Right, Firm?
Yeah, there's been some...
like that one Clash of Champions we watched with the Stable Wiley and Coyote cam.
Oh, God,
now,
not
while,
the...
While I step off heads, I want you to set up each 5-on-5 match for me. Just give me like 2 minutes and talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back.
Are we talking about who we'd put in the damn matches or what?
Well, I definitely put in on each team of the singles ones the top champs and the secondary champs at the very least, and then in the women's match, obviously the women's champs on each side, and the tags on the tag matches.
Well, that's who I reckon is going to lead the teams.
Yeah.
I reckon
because that's probably also why they had the Goldberg Lesnar match on Survivor Series, because no titles will be on the line, so they have to have something big like that.
Yeah,
supposedly Goldberg has been signed to Raw. Supposedly,
well,
right.
I reckon here's what we're going to do. I reckon with the five women match, we're going to have 5-on-5 women's match. We're going to have for SmackDown, we're going to have Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, Nikki Bella, and Carmella. facing off against the Raw, against Raw's Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha Banks. This is already sounding like an unfair match. probably Emelina and someone else.
Nia Jax.
Nia Jax, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm in the theory right now. I don't know who I'd put on the teams besides the champions, as I said. But I'm in the theory that the SmackDown tag teams will beat the Raw tag teams. Then in the women's one, it's going to be Nia Jax as the sole survivor on that one. Because I'm pretty sure what they're going to do is have Raw win one, SmackDown win one, and then the singles one is the one that decides who's the winner of the night. So I'm thinking that's why I think Nia is going to be the sole survivor on the women's team right there.
Yeah, but the big one's going to be the 5-on-5, the top five stars of Raw versus the top five stars of SmackDown. I think, yeah, like you said, we're going to have the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, so we're going to have versus the WWE Universal Champion. So we'll have AJ Styles and who's our Intercontinental Champion right now? Dolph Ziggler. Yeah, so we'll have AJ Styles, Dolph Ziggler, Dean, Miz, and John Cena if he returns in time, versus Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, Chris Jericho,
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, and as a surprise,
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
Lesnar's gonna fight Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg. Yeah. So as a surprise, I don't know. They might have Undertaker return for that one. I don't know.
Well, Undertaker's not on a brand, so they could easily put him on SmackDown again, like they used to. Maybe they could put a cruiserweight on the Raw team as well.
Oh yeah, it could be TJ Perkins. Yeah. So
yeah, just to have every champion in one of these matches. Now, there's another thing that I would have liked to seen with this. It would have been a lot harder because of the women's match, but something from a past Survivor Series, speaking of Undertaker, the 1990 Survivor Series, what they did was the ultimate match of survival at the end of the night, where if I was going to do this, I would have done a couple of Raw versus Raw and SmackDown versus SmackDown Survivor Series matches. And at the end of the night, you have a Team Raw versus Team SmackDown with the survivors from each teams against each other.
American Alpha and American Alpha and AJ Styles facing off against probably Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, and Nia Jax. It's like,
oh, Nia could probably take. No, maybe. I'm not going to say that.
Nia, squash, American Alpha.
well, she's taller than Gable, anyway. But probably heavier than him, too. But anyway.
Oh. Tread carefully, she'll squash you.
Oh. Oh, my. As they said in The Princess Bride, sleep well and dream of large women.
Yes, exactly. But But I'm just telling to you, it's going to be very interesting. I think a bunch of stuff is going to be very interesting as well. We're going to follow what happens with TNA, because TNA next week, oh my God, TNA may not even be here by next week, right, VRM?
Who knows? We still, like we said at the top, we don't know what this lawsuit is.
We don't know what the lawsuit is. And oh boy, but I will also say, I think the build to Hell in a Cell has been pretty good. Before we go, just want to come one more thing. Did you read this, that Bret Hart has actually issued an apology to pretty much everyone he trashed?
Oh, because you know why? Because he finally woke up to himself and realized, holy shit, I'm Scott Steiner. like, it was insane, man. Like, I'm like, Brett, why are you trying to burn so many bridges? That's why I did, like, I ranted when he got on 2K17. I'm like, why? He has, like, pretty much buried the company and Triple H constantly, so I'm surprised he even got a look in for the game. But it's good. It's good that he's apologized. Although I think he's just done it for a publicity stunt, like his apology wise. Anyways, I still think he believes that Triple H is shit and everything
Seth
else.
And Seth Rollins is unsafe.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't take Brett. As much as you'd love to apologize, champ, you can't take those words back.
No, you can't. But I'm going to take some words back and pretty much end the show here. What I want to do is just give, of course, everybody else here a chance to promo stuff. VRM, you have anything?
No, but I did just find a Facebook picture of Jericho May with the list.
excuse me. You, by the way, he can get anything over. You just made the list pop. Seriously, right? Right, guys?
Yeah, it's true. That's why you found it funny. I'm like I think Jericho's "you just made the list" is getting up there with the delete thing. It's like delete. It's like "you just made the list." Imagine this, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine this: Broken Matt Hardy teaming with now Chris Jericho. You just made the list for deletion.
And we
you could end wrestling then, because that there's nothing that's going to top that then if that happens.
And we may have that by the summer,
sooner rather than later. By the way, did you also hear when Seth Rollins said the word obsolete?
Oh my god!
Everyone in the arena yelled obsolete. Oh my god! Wow.
They know.
And if they know, the evil doctor knows. And if the evil doctor knows, Vince knows. You know this. There was one other thing. Wait. VRM? Not VRM. Shane, one more thing. Could you just say like 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a survey. Now, we are all viewers of the WWE Network, okay? Mm. Now, this survey came out last week, and we didn't cover it, but I just wanted to talk about this. There is a rumor that WWE Network may go tiered, okay? Now, did you hear about this?
Yes, and I'm going to have to save up more money a month if this does go through because of the top tier.
Now look at this. Here, I'm going to put this in, and I want you guys to take a quick look at this. I'm so sorry. Here we go. Take a look at that. Now, you want to all see this? You all see this?
Yep.
Okay. So plan one would be free. You get video clips. You get 5 hours a month of the video archive. 24/7 stream, and it would be commercials. You could watch on all devices, and that would be for free. Okay? Number two would be you get video clips, the big four pay-per-views, pre-recorded NXT. You wouldn't get it live. You get the video archive, 24/7 stream, limited commercials, phone and tablet only for $5. Okay? Then you'd get the limited, the one that we have, which is the $9.99. But look at plan four for $14.99. It would include access to independent wrestling content, including such as TNA and Ring of Honor, with no commercials, and fan perks like early event ticket access, offline content download, Hall of Fame voting, small group chats, second screen content, and in-person VIP matters for $15 a month. Guys, opinion?
I stated my opinion. I'm if this happens, I'm saving up the extra $5 a month to get that.
Seriously, shut up and take my money.
Especially the Hall of Fame voting. Maybe I can actually finally get Andy Kaufman into the celebrity wing.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I think I'm already paying $14.99 a month anyway.
Well, that would be $14.99 US. You are $14.99 Australian, right?
Yes, so necessarily I'd be probably paying $19.99 a month for it, which isn't bad. If I'm able to get like TNA and Ring of Honor pay per views and that'd be great.
Now, with the deal, would they? Do you think WWE would reach out to New Japan and try to get their stuff on there, or is it because of their New Japan's streaming service that would be trouble?
Well, yeah, that might be trouble because New Japan or
the New Japan World is that what it's called? Yeah. Okay. New Japan has their own streaming. Yeah, well, all right, VRM, no problem. Not Shane. Sorry about that. Shane, we'll talk to you soon. But to me, this network stuff, do you also think this is the precursor for them raising the rates anyway? Or do you think they're going to give more content?
Hard to say right now. Right, surveys happen a lot of times and nothing really comes of it, but it's something just to keep your eye on in the future. That's what I'll just say about it right now.
Absolutely, and I'm interested. So, Chris, let's talk about pay-per-review.
Yes, pay-per-review. No new one has been released since the last week, but pay-per-review is where Nikki Haymon, myself, and whoever we decide to drag onto the show at the time take a look back into the past of professional wrestling and give our little own commentary tracks on what is going on through the pay-per-views, Saturday Night's Main Events, and Clashes of the Champions. And sometimes we drag VRM on there just to get annoyed about the camera angles and the lighting and everything.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, when I'm on, it's a study in television production and what you're doing wrong.
Yes. Like I said earlier, no steady Wile E. Coyote cams. Those did not work right there.
Yes.
But yes, you can find that at tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. That is tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. And I don't know if they're trying to bring this over onto Spectrum One, but if they are, that's for Jason to tell you all about where you can find all that as well as the other shows. Go ahead, Jason.
Thank
take
you.
It away.
And as soon as I get off the phone, get off the horn here, and as soon as game set 5 is over, we are recording the League Championship Series review edition of Touch 'Em All with Jason J.D. Hernandez as host. And right now we have a tie game in the top of the 7th, 1-1, because Ooh. John Peterson just hit a home run, opposite field home run for the Dodgers. Okay. In the American League, we've got two surprise sweeps. Toronto sweeping Texas, not so much of a surprise. Cleveland sweeping Boston, holy shit, that was a surprise. We have the Cubbies and our good friend, Mr. Chair-Swinging Freak Brian Henniger. He will be happy about that. They're going to play the winner of this game. We have other shows like We Love to Interrupt. We recorded a new episode last night. We have Pixel Nation recording this weekend. Our good friend Ivy Reisner has a new... She has the PlayStation VR. She has it day one. And loves it. Cannot wait. I can't wait to hear what she has to hear about this. So we have that. We have BS Big Show. Did not record this week. May record tomorrow, depending on how Carl's life is. And, we'll see where that goes. And, of course, all the shows here on Spectrum One, Red State, Blue State, which we'll get to. And, good grief.
Nuff said.
Yes, it was 30 days. Please, can we make it go away?
Exactly. Yes, please.
Yes, please. And of course, you can listen to all the programs here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, any place we I did say TuneIn Radio. I hope I did. And all the places, any devices, anywhere, if you can hear it, if you can get it, we can get deliver it to you. Thanks to VRM, of course, Chris Waters and Bad News Beeman for hanging out with us. We will be back next week. Hopefully, Nikki Haman may or may not be back in the host chair. She is still in the her media, long-term media project, which is, you know, very, very cool. And she will actually be at Raw a week from this coming Monday. And if you could get her on her Facebook page, she wants to sell you two tickets because she's going to be there and she's going to see the return of maybe Goldberg and or Lesnar. That's the go-home show before Hell in a Cell, so check her out. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you both. For Nikki Haman, for Shane Beeman, VRM, Chris Waters, and everyone here at Spectrum One, this is Jason Block saying we will be back next week. So take care.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.